Good morning. I'd like to call the BATA Oversight Committee meeting of Wednesday, October 2012 to order. Can we call the roll, please?
Morning, Commissioners. BATA Oversight Chair Bill Dodd.
Here.
BATA Oversight Vice Chair Tom Bates.
Here.
Commissioner Campos? Commissioner Campos, present. Thank you. Commissioner Cortese?
Here.
Commissioner Glover? Commissioner Kinsey? Commissioner Sartipi? Commissioner Wiener? Ex officio Adrian Tissier? And ex officio Amy Reinworth. We have a quorum.
Thank you, Maria. Maria, can you please read the all-important compensation announcement?
Certainly. In accordance with state law, I am making the following announcement. Each member of the board here today will be entitled to receive $100 per meeting attended, up to a maximum of $500 per month per agency. This amount is provided as a result of convening a meeting for which each member is entitled to collect such amount. Thank you.
That's sponsored by the state legislature. With that, we'll move to the consent calendar. We have a motion.
Second.
And we have a second. Any discussion? Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. We'll move to item number three, Fast Track Regional Customer Service Center Policies. Blah, blah, blah. Who's up? Beth?
Good morning, Commissioners.
Good morning,
I'm Beth Zielinski with the BATA staff. This item is to approve changes to the Fast Track Regional Customer Service Center policies. This is to support the upcoming Golden Gate Bridge all-electronic toll collection program.
Great.
In February of this year, Golden Gate Bridge authorized their staff to move forward with an all-electronic tolling program, including developing new payment methods and eventually eliminating cash collection at their toll plaza. These payments will be processed through the Fast Track Customer Service Center, which we manage the contract for. The new payment methods are a license plate account, which would be established by customers prior to their trip and would be backed by a credit card or a prepaid balance, and no Fast Track tag would be issued for this type of account. They would also have a one-time payment account, which is similar to the license plate account, but would be for a limited duration. And for patrons who do not pre-establish any type of Fast Track or license plate account, the patron would be issued a toll invoice, which would be sent to the vehicle's registered owner, and failure to pay the invoice would result in it being escalated to a violation. In addition, for customers who need to use cash, a cash payment network would be developed, and it would allow customers to use cash at a kiosk or a cashier to pay their to replenish their account or pay violations or invoices. Golden Gate plans to begin using these payment methods in December of this year, and this is to introduce it to customers. During this time, cash would still be collected at their toll plaza, and they target February of 2013 to eliminate cash collection at their plaza and begin full all-electronic toll collection operation. BATA staff is proposing to modify our regional CSC policies so that patrons who set up a license plate account or a one-time payment account for their Golden Gate Bridge trips would also be used that account to pay for trips on the state-owned bridges. This would help reduce customer confusion and support customer convenience. Customers who do travel on Golden Gate Bridge frequently also travel on the Bay Bridge or the Richmond-San Rafael Bridge. However, we don't expect a large volume of customers to use these accounts on our bridges. And we're not proposing to deploy an invoicing payment method at this time because we do still have cash collection on the bridges, and that would serve those customers. We will monitor their all-electronic toll collection program once it's introduced to evaluate its effectiveness and to determine whether we should deploy a similar program on the state bridges. And we would bring back some recommended policies once we look at the feasibility of that at a later date. And with that, staff recommends that the committee refer BATA Resolution 52 to the authority for approval.
Thank you, Beth. Any questions? Commissioner Green?
No, I'm certainly in favor of this. I'm just wondering how long you're monitoring
time period will be before you decide to bring it back for a wider deployment? I mean, are you going to be looking for a year, 6 months?
Probably, I would imagine about a year. But I think it's dependent on how well it goes.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, may I have a
move the resolution?
We have a motion. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? There are no speaker cards. Any public comment? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. That motion passes. Thank you, Beth. Move to number four. We have a contract amendment here. Andy, are you up?
Yeah, thanks, Commissioner. Andy Fremier, Deputy Executive Director for Operations at MTC. Several years ago, we formed a working group to take a look at the future development of the property that's known as Gateway Park. And we included about nine agencies and other operations that are directly adjoining or have some jurisdiction over it. And with that, I'd like to actually mention a few of them are here. We've got Stephen Mahler, who's a Deputy Executive Director at the California Transportation Commission, Michael Anderson at the East Bay Regional Parks District, Brad McRae from BCDC, and Dan McElhaney, the Chief Deputy for District 4. So we've been working for quite a long time on producing some information that developed the project concept report for the area. And so the item before you today is to ask for a contract to deliver a project report and a complete environmental document to clear some of the items that were proposed in the project concept report. But before going into that ask, I thought it would be important to kind of walk through a few of the slides that represent the area and kind of define some of the things that we're talking about. It's an extremely complicated set of circumstances that get us here, and by just looking at the map and all the different partners, you'll begin to understand why. At the base of the drawing, we have the Oakland Army Base, which is under redevelopment as we speak. We have up in blue the Caltrans Maintenance Complex, which was originally going to be developed around the Sawtooth Building in the center, but has been moved east of there into that blue area. That work will commence beginning next year. Following kind of the red lines, you have committed access and committed projects that will be established and are happening now as we speak, related either to the Cypress reconstruction, believe it or not, or the New Bay Bridge. And so the red lines are bike lanes that will get us to the eventual bike path that's on the Bay Bridge. Then in the median, there's a considerable amount of work going on right now. As you know, we just replaced the Toll Bridge Administration Building, and Caltrans replaced the Tow Services Building at either end of the median. In the next few months, the last remaining old structure in the median will be demolished, and we have just started a new construction contract that will reclad and recondition the toll booths and the barriers in that area. So there's quite a bit of work going along alongside of this, as well as obviously the landscaping, including palm trees, that will go in as part of the Bay Bridge construction and opening. Finally, on the far left of Gateway Park, we still have an existing bridge that takes up quite a bit of the property that we're talking about eventually developing. That bridge will be removed over the next several years, and that sort of opens up some of that footprint. Gateway Park is really just the spit of land labeled Gateway Park, as Peter is showing there with the slide, that is originally a couple different property owners. The Army owns a piece of the property, and Caltrans owns a piece of the property. As part of the environmental document for the Bay Bridge, Caltrans will turn that over to East Bay Regional Parks, and the Army is in the process, a very slow process, of transitioning their property also to the parks. But as part of the working group's assignment from most of the executive directors of the organizations, we were asked to take a look at a larger footprint. And so what we have done is tried to blur the lines between the development that's going on between all the different agencies, including the East Bay MUD on the upper end of the drawing, and create a footprint that we think will really improve the access to the bridge and complement the work that's going on for the bridge structure. So there's a whole series of items that are going to show up in the presentation, and I think it's important to recognize that what the environmental document will do is really provide just a menu of items that could possibly be done if funding showed up, because we do not have a full funding plan for all of the items that we're presenting. We do have quite a bit of committed funds, though, from the transportation enhancement funds, as well as seismic requirements and some rehabilitation requirements between Caltrans and the Bay Area Toll Authority for the maintenance area and access to the bridge. But we are a long ways away from completing a funding plan that would deliver all this, and I just want to be very clear about that at the outset. So in the upper right, what you have is sort of the vistas that we will have from the Bay Bridge before the old bridge is demolished. And so we have Belvederes that are adjacent to the bike paths that have benches and other areas to enjoy the view. What we're looking at the bottom is the access as you enter the bridge. We would like to try to develop some programming there so it becomes that much more enticing to use that path. You know, that's one of the struggles that we have. We don't believe that we have a Golden Gate Bridge-type access that's going to attract millions of people right from the start. We're going to have to develop some programming in that area and some ability to identify how to get there to really get the benefit of the bike path. There's a maintenance complex that I mentioned is being constructed. The contract, I think, advertises the beginning of next year, and that will clear out the area known as the Sawtooth from maintenance functions, or primarily from maintenance functions, and move them into a new facility just east of the Horseshoe. And so we purchased some land from Oakland, and Caltrans is delivering that project. It should be open by about 2014. Oakland Army Base is under development. There is, a kickoff invitation tomorrow that's going to start to describe and show some of the work that is planned for that area around not only our park, but further into the Army base. And we have been working very closely with the developer to make sure that we can take advantage of some of their needs, such as utilities and other public access requirements that they're required to do, to really incorporate that into the big picture. And then finally, the Sawtooth Building, which is really starting to, I think, show as a dramatic opportunity to take advantage of a historic building that was originally used as a maintenance facility for the trains that accessed the bridge, and then eventually in the 50s became a Caltrans maintenance station. Caltrans is in the process of vacating that, and we are going to try to change the programming in it by the time of the bridge opening, to sort of recenter the public information office in that area and provide restrooms and a place for the public that is accessing the bike path, which will partially open when the bridge is opened, and give them an opportunity at least to have a place to stop on their way, because it is quite a bit of distance from Emeryville to the bridge if you are driving or riding a bike. And there will be some parking in this area that will allow you to park and then take off from there. So the idea is to incorporate the Sawtooth right from the beginning into the programming of the park to really start to identify how we can, develop the area in such a way that it looks considerably different than it does today. So the concept plan really takes a look at the entire area. The Emery Crescent is up on the top. There is some mitigation work that has already been done in the median of the 880-580-80 interchange that was required as part of the permit requirements of the bridge. The bike path, as I mentioned, is being constructed. And so the concept plan really laid out some pretty good opportunities for doing some of the development work. The schedule is the next important thing to recognize. So we spent quite a bit of time with the community in Oakland, trying to look at the ways that we could incorporate some of the ideas into the park improvements. We developed the project concept report, which was completed at the end of last year. We're getting ready in September of next year to open the new bridge, as well as part of the Sawtooth Building, as I mentioned. We need to recognize that the bike path isn't completed at bridge opening, but there will be temporary access through the Oakland end, and then it will essentially die out about the tower for the next couple of years until the bridge is demolished and the new ramps are built on the island, where the bike path then gets completed and opened completely from end to end on its permanent structure. The idea for bridge demolition will be continuing on for a couple years, and so we're really not out of the way until mid-2017. We think that the environmental document will take about 18 months. It's a very complex area. There's going to be quite a bit of contamination identified from some of the past use. The Army is required to clean up a lot of it, but just identifying it and figuring out how to clear it is going to take quite a bit of time. It'll be a complicated environmental document. And if we're successful at that point producing and finding funds, we would like to then get right back into design and hopefully get the park opened by 2018 or so. Now, again, that depends on how much we can afford, but at a minimum, there will be a considerable amount of access and improvements that can be done in that time frame. So some of the ideas that were floated around in the concept report are pretty significant, obviously. The memorandum of agreement that the bridge environmental document was approved under allows for the use of some existing pieces of bridge to be maintained if there is interest in doing that. So what we've shown here in this drawing is a reassembly, in essence, of a 504-foot span that is the double-deck section as you go up on the incline. And the idea would be that the trains that will go into the development on Pier 7, as well as the bike path that we're talking about constructing that will connect West Oakland to the park, would also traverse through this area. Now, that's a pretty big ask, but the idea is interesting. What you see on the left is maybe a smaller reuse of some of the steel in the structure. We also have quite a bit of interest from the local artist communities, and so we've got some impressions of sculptures and things that could be done. It's important to note that quite a bit of significant art has been built in Oakland. For instance, the Bean that's in Chicago in Millennium Park was built in Oakland. There's a little spaceship down at the foot of the pier at the ferry terminal in San Francisco that was developed in Oakland, and we've had quite a bit of interest in that community in supporting the project by that. We've also talked in the past about using the Sawtooth Building as a transportation or a public museum of sorts. We want to be concerned not just to limit it to a transportation museum, because we do have quite a bit of programming from the bridge that we'd like to put into it, but also try to maximize whatever other opportunities there are in that facility. Another big cost that we have is the green building in the middle between the parking lot and the Sawtooth. And the idea there is, if we did have significant programming and if we could partner a little bit with Caltrans, there is some need for training facilities and other programming elements. Obviously, that's something that doesn't have to be done if the funding doesn't exist. And this sort of becomes the central portion of the park. And as you can see, there is water access now. It's not going to be quite as clear as it's shown there. There's quite a bit of industry on the waterfront, but the idea is that you do open up and see some of that environment from this central part of the park.
So, Andy, what would you identify north on this, that last slide?
Sure, north would be to the left. Well, I guess, I'm sorry, to the right. It's technically up. East is to the left towards Oakland and East Bay Mud. And then the Port of Oakland is on the upper part of the drawing to the left. There we go, where the arrow is. And then San Francisco would be that way, where the arrow is going. The median is right there in the middle, Commissioner, and that's the Toll Administration Building down at the bottom right. So the bridge is to the right. As part of the blurring of lines and providing access in conditions that are required for the development, one idea we've had here is developing a boardwalk in concert with the pier development that Oakland is doing. And we've actually had some interest in donating the cranes that you see there. Old cranes that are no longer in use in the port would be moved over and create a boardwalk environment. It's also a potential to have kayaks and other things that might access from this point. The public access is the important part. Some of the amenities on top of that are the things that would be nice to do. As I mentioned, we do think you need to have some programming in the park that gives a point to adjourn or a point to get to. And so this is one of the concepts that's in the report that would produce, you know, a public walkway and an area with some sort of a structure that would be attractive that would really invite the opportunity to bring families and have picnics and enjoy really beautiful vistas, believe it or not, that are out there looking at Alameda and also into San Francisco. And then another concept that we've had at the end of the bridge is to try to take advantage of the existing structure. And so we've been talking with the permitting agencies about actually leaving some of the foundations in place as a project savings to some degree, where we would not demolish all of those pier footings and then provide public access on some sort of a trestle as we have at really some of the other older bridges that would allow you to actually experience the architecture of the bridge from directly underneath it, which we also think is an exciting opportunity. There's another historic building that is in the forefront of this drawing that we would also like to refurbish and incorporate into the park. And so that's identified down at also at the Spit. I think there's one more. So what we have really is another thing to recognize is the area that we're talking about in this ask is under a very dynamic process between the bridge removal, the development of the Oakland Army Base, and the work that we're doing as well as Caltrans. And so what we've tried to do is create a video representation of how that will develop over time in pieces. Because, you know, ultimately when the bridge is open in 2013, it's still an active maintenance yard and it's still an active construction site. But then over the course of the next several years, it will change on its own as the bridge is removed and the port is developed and the work is finished in the maintenance area. One other area that I forgot to mention, up in the upper part of the drawing, that's called Radio Beach. Right now there's no access to Radio Beach. One of the other areas that we would like to try to clear environmentally and try to find access to is that area. So the new bridge actually takes away from any shoreline access that you might be able to generate. So it's a very complicated addition if we were to try to include that in the park. And there's a lot of concern over public access in Radio Beach that's very sensitive. But the idea, again, in the environmental document would be to weigh it and evaluate it and to see if it had a value. So that, in a nutshell, is the idea of the environmental work that we're proposing. And that leads me to the item. So I'm happy to answer any questions before actually going for the ask, if there are any.
Thank you, Andrew. Any questions?
Quickly, Ann Halstead, representing BCDC. I wonder if you could just talk briefly about sea level rise and how that is contemplated in this process.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good question. Both the development at the pier and our project assume we are going to have to raise the elevation, and so there will be quite a bit of fill, which actually might benefit by encapsulating some of the hazardous material that might exist there. But the idea is to deal with that in the development of the park, and it's actually a substantial cost of the development is to sort of raise the grade, both for us and also for the developer.
Commissioner Bates?
Andy, what is the ultimate cost estimate to do this
work? The project concept report has the whole gamut of work really approaching over $150 million. $150 million. We probably have identified anywhere from $50 to $75 million as already identified legitimate funding from various sources, either the transportation enhancement funds that will deal with the bike access from West Oakland and some other parts of the park, some of the bridge requirements both in the rehab and seismic requirements. East Bay Regional Park has an opportunity to put money into it if the project is understood and governance is figured out. So there are pieces of money that will get us a long ways to the basic infrastructure. But some of the more complicated and interesting items of the park certainly aren't funded yet. And we are taking a look at other grants. There's quite a bit of science grants and other national grants for little pieces. And we'll continue to work at that and hopefully identify some of those fund sources in the final project report that's produced in about 18 months.
So is the ultimate goal to transfer all of this property to East Bay Regional Parks?
Well, the other work that will go on during the project report stage will be to work on governance, because what the regional park has said is they're interested in maintaining the park aspect of it if there's operating money to do that. But they don't have a whole lot of interest in operating museums or public infrastructure that is part of the programming question. So that's another one of the hurdles that we need to ascertain, and we want to use that 18 months to do that.
Okay. Well, it's a very exciting project, and so hopefully we can pull it off. With 2018, is that the
That's
outside?
What we're hoping for, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Yes. Commissioner Haggerty.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. After the Bay Bridge opening, how long do we anticipate that it will take to complete the bike portion of the new bridge?
I think we're about almost 3 years, Peter, before the bike path is actually open and completed, because you have about 2+ years of demolition, because you need to remove there's a conflict in the existing bridge
right.
at the cantilever section, and as well as the viaduct that ties into the island. You can't finish the bike path until you remove the existing large part of the cantilever, which is a majority of the demolition, and then rebuild the ramp that will connect on the east end. So between the demolition and the reconstruction, we're probably at about 3 years.
Okay, and then I guess, first of all, I want to say that I see a lot of great ideas, so I'm happy that it's moving in this direction. But having the container... the container removal things out there, I mean, that's of no value other than just to show what it used to look like in the old days. I mean, do you plan on using them?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny that you bring that up, because there originally was some idea that they could be, you know, used by the public to climb around on if possible. Now, there's obviously some liability issues associated there, but the developer also has looked at potentially having active cranes out there. We don't know what the final answer is, but the idea would be they would either look, as you described, representing what the port used to function, or hopefully have some ability to access them by the public and maybe be a reason to get out there.
I mean, I could see it if they used it as something to maybe put some sort of canopy up where there could be events or something, but I guess where I was going in even asking the question is – not only the liability, but secondarily, I personally believe that it really creates a huge maintenance problem in trying to keep those things up, keep them painted. And I think I see a tremendous ongoing cost. So I hope that you evaluate that as you move forward.
Absolutely, Commissioner. That's also a good question. We do anticipate in this report really identifying and evaluating how much operating commitment we're talking about. That's the big question mark that we need to address, as well as the other environmental pieces.
Thank you. Commissioner Wirth?
Great. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for that report. And I agree, having continued access to the finite ability, water that we have in the bay is a wonderful, wonderful thing. I just had a couple of questions for you. First of all, this predated many of us on the commission, but it was my understanding that this Gateway Park was part of the whole discussion about building the new bridge in terms of mitigation and that kind of thing. So could you talk a little bit about that,
sure.
How this relates to that, those commitments? Second of all, in terms, you've laid out a schedule that it's pretty far-reaching with questions about one final money to build as well as money to operate the facility. So can you talk about the issue about environmental documentation? How do we ensure that documentation will continue to be basically refreshed, or we can utilize it when we're looking at so far down the line?
Sure. The requirements that are established in the environmental document for the Bay Bridge are actually pretty minimal. There was the park access requirement, but it essentially asked that the land just be turned to the park district to figure out what they wanted to do. I think there's been quite a bit of expectation in the public's mind anyway that there would be some access improvements in there, at least to a minimal level. There are a bunch of other sort of minor items associated with the agreements that allow for the opportunity to bring bridge pieces into use, which we also did at the Carquinez Bridge for that matter. So there's not a strict tie to a lot of environmental requirements from the bridge to this project, but there is some inferred responsibilities and there's some opportunities. Relative to the life of the environmental document, the work that will be done in producing the document, I think, will help us understand how much of a commitment that is in terms of time, the life of the document. And I don't have a good answer for that question, but we will have to address it and be able to say conclusively how long we think our ideas are good for in terms of being cleared. But I think the footprint is really the most important aspect of it, and the types of cleanup that are required between the Army's responsibilities and the state's will be the other issue.
So just to understand, a lot of this environmental review is going to be, in a way, reconnaissance. It's going to say, understand where what we have here and then what needs to be done.
Correct.
As well as opposed to an environmental report that ultimately will provide a basis for constructing something. That's kind of a subsequent
correct.
Discussion.
I think it will commit us okay. to a menu of options that are items that we could improve or not if we could find the funding and operations to that commitment.
Thank you. Any other comments? I have no speaker cards. We have here a request for approval.
Yeah, Commissioner, we would request to approve that you allow the Executive Director to negotiate and enter into a contract amendment with T.Y. Lynn and ICF International, as well as Perkins & Will and EKI, which is a local landscape architect firm in Oakland, to develop and deliver a project report and environmental document for not to exceed $4 million.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Any dissent? That motion passes without objection. Thank you, Andrew. Okay, Peter, we have a toll bridge seismic retrofit program report.
I will be very brief, Commissioners. Before you today is the monthly progress report on the seismic program. Just to give you an update on the load transfer operations on the east band. This is a recent picture. You can see that many of the suspender cables now are very taut and in the plane that we needed to be for load transfer. So they're being loaded up right now, and the bridge deck is basically more than 80% off of its the false work. And that operation should conclude in November, and we are definitely on pace to open the bridge up in Labor Day of 2013. Just to cover that one question that Commissioner Haggerty had earlier about the conflict, the Yerba Buena Island transition structures, these are the structures that take you off the SAS into the tunnel. They're nearly complete. But you see here, this is the bike path of the new SAS right here, and you can see that it's going to run basically along this path that is currently in the way of the detour. And what we will be doing, or what we will do later this month, is open bids for a contract to remove this section of bridge, as well as the main cantilever section of the bridge, and construct the remaining on-ramp to the new span that will also have the bike path. So that's the duration of the 2 years that we need to open up the remaining portion of the bridge. One last thing I'd like to note is the San Mateo-Hayward Bridge closure. That is still on schedule to happen the first week is October 19th through the 22nd, and as well as October 26th through the 29th. These are full bridge closures for the weekend, starting Friday night and reopening Monday morning. The detours for the project are listed on our website, as well as 511, as well as the Caltrans website, but the detours are to the north, the Bay Bridge, and to the south, the Dumbarton Bridge and Highway 237 if you're in the South Bay. Please stay tuned to 511. And that the staff's available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Peter. Any questions? Seeing none, that conclude. I don't have any speaker cards here either. Any public comment? Seeing none, that concludes the business before this committee today. And we'll adjourn to the next meeting, which is Wednesday, November 4th, 2012 at 9:30.